Well, I thought I would begin this morning by making some bold predictions for a year from now. A year from now, we will be less than a month away from being in our new building. A year from now, it will be hot. A year from now, I will be closer to my retirement than to my ordination. Think about that. And one more prediction. A year from now, you will have a new baby. So who's father making eye contact with right now? I don't want to show all my cards, right? Well, God seems to be just as confident as I am. When Abraham and Sarah show their kind hospitality to their guests in the first reading, and before the guests leave, one of them, who turns out to be the Lord, says, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." So if God can predict something, then surely I can. Never mind. Does anyone really know when a new life will come into the world? Do a man and a woman even know when their actions will result in a new life? They could make certain decisions to increase its likelihood, or other decisions to prevent it. They could. But does that mean they should? And that question is at the heart of our human existence. When God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, but then created their bodies in such a way that the sexual act does not always lead to fruitful multiplication. What happens when God says there will be a child, but the couple says no? Or when a couple says, "Yes, we want one," but it seems like God says no? Well, before we ponder that, can we first dig a little deeper into God's prediction in the first reading today? So the reading from Genesis 18 ends with the Lord foretelling that Sarah will have a son. That's the end of the reading, but it's not the end of the story. So I pulled out my Bible and looked at Genesis 18 to see what happens next. Here it is. "So one of them said, 'I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son.'" That's the end of our reading. Here's what comes next. "Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, just behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and Sarah had stopped having her menstrual periods. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, 'Now that I am worn out and my husband is old, am I still to have sexual pleasure?' But the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really bear a child old as I am? Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do? At the appointed time, about this next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son.' Sarah lied, saying, 'I did not laugh,' because she was afraid. But he said, 'Yes, you did.'" Isn't that great what we missed? What an incredible end to the story. I think one lesson that can be drawn from this episode is that God wants to have a say in the intimate conversations of a couple about having or not having a child. In fact, he already has had a say in the natural cycles of fertility and infertility that are built into a woman's body, God has invited a couple to collaborate with him in the act of procreation. And in doing so, God has given them the freedom to discern their future without circumventing God in an artificial or contraceptive way. Even if someone didn't believe in God at all, they could look and see the physical complementarity of a man and a woman and know that their path of procreation can be followed without harmful side effects and in a way that fosters communication and reproductive health. We're blessed here in Southwest Kansas and even here at the cathedral to have certified teachers who can help a couple to understand their bodies in a more profound way, or connect them with experts to identify the underlying causes and not just the symptoms of their reproductive challenges. Now, I realize that there are many here who would say that that is water under the bridge for a time in your life that has already passed. But let me say that a conversion of heart is always of value, be it before, during, or after a bad decision. The Lord was immensely interested in the relationship between Abraham and Sarah, even to the most personal corners of their marital act. Maybe that's why Sarah laughed. But it was God's assurance to them and to every married couple that he will be with them in their procreative decisions, in the heartbreak or the joy or the uncertainty. He will be with them. And in fact, in their bodies, he already is.